You know the difference between Sri Lanka and Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and the difference between all that and Christianity is that he's alive. Amen. He's alive. And the difference is really this, what we're talking about is real. Amen. Five people believe that. All right. Well, he is real. I'm here to tell you he's real. And you know the thing is that's different, what we do and what we believe, it is supernatural. We, in our day and age, some of that stuff is kind of we hear too much. The charismatics have scared us to death. We're afraid to talk about the supernatural and what God is doing. And we think if we do, we're going to, you know, get kicked out of the Baptist, you know, whatever there is. I don't know. But anyhow, listen, he is real and what we've got is real and we're excited about that. Listen, I want to tell you about something. We have a CD. It's called College Bound, My Girls. We recorded this really back in 2014. And we have a 4th of July special going on. Every family gets one of these for free. All right? We're giving these away. That's a pretty good special. Yeah. Amen. We actually use these when we were on the road and to help raise money for the girls in their freshman year of Bible college. And somehow they graduated. So now we found another case of them, so we're giving out every family. If you have one after the service, you find my girls. That's our reward for getting them through school. We're giving the rest away. So get one after the service. We'd like to give you one of those. It's anyhow, what we want to do. So turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke in chapter 9. Luke in chapter 9. We're going to begin there reading just a couple verses in verse 10 there. The Bible says, let everybody get finished there. All right, you there? You ready? I want everybody to get there. Okay, verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him, talking about Jesus, all that they had done. And when he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Let's pray together as we get started this evening. Father, we're thankful. Lord, we're thankful for the time that we could be gathered together in your house tonight. Lord, thankful for each one that's come here, Lord. We've come tonight as a needy people. Lord, I pray that you would deal with our hearts in a way that would glorify you, would honor you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be what you'd have us to be, have ears to hear. Lord, and a tender heart to receive your truth. And Lord, let your word mold us and make us into what you want us to be. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we find here in this passage that Jesus had spent some time, different things that had gone forth, and the apostles were sent forth to preach, and now they came back, and they were telling them about what happened on their journeys and so forth, and the Lord was about to get them to a place to take them aside now to teach them. So the first thing I want us to see tonight is this. There's always a time for teaching. There's always a time for the Lord to teach us something. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. This life that we live for the Lord, this life we live in Christ, is not meant to be attained, but rather attaining. In other words, let me say it another way. We're never intended to be a finished product. You see, we are a work in progress. And this is how God is dealing with us all the time. By the way, it's how he dealt with the apostles. You know, they weren't masters when they went out. They were, obviously, when we read through the New Testament, they were a mess. Not much different. Actually, a lot worse than you and I would be, because we've had the advantage of reading through and studying where they've made the mistakes. And so, listen, there's the Lord is always taking a time to teach them, and thus he's always taking a time to teach us something. The Lord is constantly working in your life and mine to perfect us by removing the imperfections. I think it was Thomas Jefferson that first talked about the fact that when the Constitution was being written and so forth, that this was the American experiment. This idea that we formed as a nation of a democracy, a republic, a democracy, a republican democracy, was really a first time to let the people rule the land. You understand? It was actually an experiment. Matter of fact, there were many, including George Washington, many of the founding fathers, even Benjamin Franklin, many in that time thought they were afraid of democracy. They were afraid of what we were going to do, because virtually they were giving to the people the government. They wrote the Constitution, gave it to them, said, "Well, see what you can do with it." Really, in a sense, was what was taking place there. It was an experiment based on something that had never happened before. We're talking about a world that was full of empires and so forth like that. And so we find then in this kind of this scenario what God has given us in this nation is during that time there was many opportunities to see what was going to take place. And of course we've gone a long ways from the beginning. And people still, I guess maybe someone would still say, "I wonder what's going to happen. How is it going to work out?" I can remember when my wife and I first got married a few years back, and people said, "That's never going to work." That is never. They did. They said it's never, and they probably weren't wrong in thinking like that. We didn't have the typical, and I'm not going to get into that tonight. But after a few years, you're thinking, yeah, you know, after about 4 or 5 years, we're like, yeah, see, we've made it this long. You know, and any of y'all experience that? Maybe not. Y'all had better situations. I wasn't saved until after I got married, so you understand there was kind of this thing. And now I think we're at the place, I think we're thinking, I think it might work out. You understand? And so, we got just a few years left, and we'll have got all of our children raised up most of the way. We're still raising them. I mean, they never finished raising them, I guess. Right? Yeah, y'all know that a whole lot better. I mean, you know, listen, this is the way God works in our life. Listen, if you're still breathing, God has something to teach you. Right? When you're done breathing, you're finished. Amen? So at your funeral, that's why we kind of talk about a graduation, right? It's a time to really be excited. It's a promotion when we get to our own funeral. You say, "Well, I don't get to enjoy it." Yeah, you do. If you're saved. Amen. If you're saved. And so we're at that place. There's always a time for the Lord to teach us something. And the great thing about this is He is taking every opportunity. Every opportunity that comes by. But then the second thing is this. There's always a time for compassion. Look with me, if you would, over in the book of Mark in chapter 6. Mark in chapter 6, we're going to see, really it's the same account, but from Mark's perspective and maybe a little different piece there in Mark chapter 6 and verse 32. And what we're coming upon here is this occasion is going to be a very familiar story, is that of the feeding of the 5,000. And so this is what was kind of leading in. We found over there in Luke, and now it's the same thing in Mark. This is one of the few accounts that all four of the Gospels actually recorded from their perspective. Verse 32, and again, we find the same thing. "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." We find that word over there in Luke was the same word, privately. And then he goes, verse 33, "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of the cities and outwent them and came together unto him." So what we find here is that this was meant to be a private discipleship training, right, for the for these apostles. The Lord wanted to get them away in a private place to deal with them as apostles, maybe as these the church, right, these future preachers that are going to turn the world upside down. He said now they've gone out and the Lord sent them to go preach and gave them power, and they went and did that, and now they're coming back to report what had happened and talk to him. And he said, let me get you aside privately to deal with them. And in the middle of that time, when he was trying to do that, the rest of the people saw him. And they knew who he was, and they knew what was going. So as they went to go this way in a ship, these people, they went afoot. Now, we don't really talk about like that in a foot. You know, but in Sri Lanka, they'll say sometimes, you say, how did you get here? He said, you know, we say, I came by foot. We don't talk like that. We don't say, I came by foot. But that's how they'll say. One day I came, I was in my, I had taken my shoes off, still had my socks on, and somebody was coming and trying to find my house. And so I got out, walked in, and just up, kind of up the hill a little bit, about half, you know, maybe about half a block. And I got up there, and the guy looked at me. He said, did you come by your socks? I said, yeah, I came by my socks. And he was kind of disgusted that I would walk in my socks outside. But so I learned, you go barefoot, you go by foot or shoe. But anyhow, but what happened is these people, they saw him, and so they went by foot, and it said this word that, I mean, I don't know where this is. It sounds like it could be a southern word. I don't know what that is, but it says, and they ran a foot thither out of the city, and outwent them. I'm not sure what outwent. I mean, we know what that means, but I don't know who uses that word. But anyway, that's what they did. They beat them. They ran faster by foot. They were in a ship sailing, and these others, I mean, they were excited. When you outrun a boat, you know, you just kind of excited to get there. And so something happened. So what I'm saying here is the Lord was going to do this time of discipleship, of training, but the ministry got in the way. See what happened there in verse 33? And the people saw them, and they came out together unto him. Now, and then in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So what he wanted to do was to take them aside as disciples, as apostles, and teach them. But ministry got in the way. Isn't that funny? You ever notice some of these things in Scripture? Sometimes you don't notice that you really get at what happened, what he was going to do, and something got in the way. Now, listen, sometimes what happens is training for the ministry can get in the way of ministry. We can get so focused on this, on church and becoming a better Christian, to be equipped. By the way, the Bible talks about we're to be here, and the pastor's here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, right? Sometimes we can get so focused on being equipped for the ministry, and we really just get puffed up and never get used. It's kind of like you've heard the illustration, it's kind of like the Dead Sea. The water comes in, but it just doesn't go out. And really, God's plan is, but sometimes this kind of thing happens. Listen, both things are important, though. Let's don't misunderstand. Training for the ministry is important. You know, I can remember my pastor would talk about, you know, zeal versus experience. He said, zeal is great. Zeal will get you out the door, but experience will keep you going. And so, you know, zeal without experience is really kind of flat. You get, woo, I'm excited to do something, but then you don't really know how to get it done. And so you need some training. And so, but experience with just that keeps puffing up but doesn't have this is kind of valueless as well. The Lord made it clear here that compassion for the lost is what happens to him. So I want you to see there again in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. So I want to say this. Compassion isn't something that we need to get better at? You'd say, well, I don't know if I'm a... Let me understand. Stay with me for a minute. Compassion isn't something that we try to get better at. You know, I just need to feel bad for people. I just need to... It's really, actually, compassion is something that happens to us when we see the need of others, when we're Christ-like. You see, if compassion doesn't happen to you, then there's still a whole lot more learning in our life. Maybe salvation needs to be there. Imagine a crowd like this. Most of us here are saved. But there does. If you could look at a need, at a ministry of ministering to somebody, and it doesn't draw you, then there's something missing in our life. Do you understand? There ought to be there. Compassion is something, not something that we do. It's something that happens. Jesus had something that he was going to do. He was about to take some time to do some training. He meant to do some discipleship, to do some teaching. But what happened in the midst of that planned activity is he noticed somebody, a group of people, and there was a need, and he saw them, and compassion moved him to say, you know what, we're going to hold this for a minute. By the way, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean we don't plan and do all those things. It means all the programs aren't what should rule a Christian. It's where we go, we learn, we go, direct to those things. But compassion is what should stir us to be moved to tell somebody about what God wants us to do. It should happen to us. Compassion should happen to us. I've been in churches, and I've seen church, been part of churches where we had, you know, maybe an older church had been there for a long time. Some members had been there a long time, and they wanted it to grow. Preacher, like most people want their church to grow, they wanted to see new people come in. And there was a bus ministry started, you know, not more like a van ministry. People started bringing some kids in, and some of these kids were dirty, you know, snot nosed. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of just those kind of kids, you know. And they came in, and folks are like, preacher, I don't know, we want these folks in our church, these kids in our church. They're going to mess up our church. Could you imagine thinking like that? Could you imagine being concerned about your... I mean, listen, I think we ought to take care of God's house. I think it's important. I think the Bible gives us some evidence of that. But sometimes what can happen is the other things can get in the way, and we're not moved with compassion when there's a need there. Now listen, I've been in some places where there's some folks in church next to me. I wish they had took a shower before they came. Amen? Y'all been like that? You've seen, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, I'm glad that they're here and we have an opportunity, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm just saying this tonight, there's always a time for compassion. And then the third thing is this. There's always a time to be examined, and that's you and I to be examined. Look, we're still in Mark chapter 6. Look down there in verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Verse 37, and he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? So the Lord's will was bigger than the apostles' imagination. By the way, that's the way he is for you and I too. His will is almost always bigger than our imagination. The things you know why? It's because we kind of think can I just say it this way? We think on religious terms. We could sometimes think of Christianity as a religion that we just kind of go through these motions and we kind of do the right things, and we got our list of stuff and our services and the things we go through, and we've got this kind of direction. And we think of it like that, but can I tell you, that's what false religion does. They have no power of God to come in, but we can easily slip into that. By the way, all of us are like that. We can slip into something that's just kind of going through the routine and forget the fact that we serve the God that made all this. I mean, he didn't make the pulpit. He made the tree that we got the pulpit out of. I mean, God didn't make it from a seed. He made the tree that gave us some seeds to make other trees. I mean, I'm talking about the God that listen, I mean, when you think about it, we're still trying to figure out, you know, the world said, well, you know, we only use like a quarter of our brain or something like that. We use all of it. We just don't understand how it works. Isn't that something? As far as our technology has taken us, we're still like, you know, we ain't got no clue. And we want to, listen, the God that created all these things and put together these atoms, I don't know if he stitched it. I don't know what he did. It just was nothing to God. He just said, you know, let it be there. And man came and he said, you know what? Man needs a woman. Let's take one of his ribs and make a woman. How does that work? Can you do that? You know, it's kind of an amazing thing when you think about what the God we serve. So I'm just saying this. God's will was bigger than their imagination on that time. So feeding this crowd of 5,000 men, it was unfathomable to the apostles. It's kind of, sometimes the writing that we read in the Bible sometimes can feel disrespectful and a little sarcastic. And I don't think it's always meant like that. I don't think they were mouthy to Jesus. I really don't think that was kind of the spirit. It can almost sound like that to us, though. What do you want us to do? Go buy 200 penny worth of bread? That really, what that comes out to is 200, a penny was a day's labor, right? And so it's like, you want us to go get 200 day, almost, you know what, 3/4 of a year labor, whatever that comes out to, of money to go buy bread for all these people? It sounds kind of, I don't know. It's sometimes there's things there, and I wonder if in the Greek, if it had a different spirit. But I'm just saying this. They said, how are we going to do that? By the way, remember, it was a desert place. There wasn't nowhere to get food. So what he was saying, it wasn't even possible. He was saying something like, how on earth are we going to do such a thing? Why was it so hard for the apostles to believe this? I mean, they'd seen Jesus do the other thing. They'd seen the Lord Jesus Christ give them power over unclean spirits. They'd seen all these other things. Why did they think this was going to be a challenge with feeding people out here in this crowd? Well, really, it's this, because they'd never seen it done before. Well, I mean, they could have read about manna. Could you imagine feeding a million hungry Jews in the wilderness every day with some manna? You know, what is manna? Well, it's like coriander seed. Well, what's it like? I don't know. It's just, but God fed them every day. Sometimes we forget about what God did before, and this is the same God. And here they are where Jesus was God in the flesh, and they said, well, how are we going to do this? I'm just saying, listen, God's will can often be beyond our imagination. You know what? He wants to take us there. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to examine our life. He's trying to draw something out of us so that we would trust Him. He wants us to do, listen, God doesn't want us to do what we can do. If we do what we can do, we get the glory. We're going to take it. I'm just saying, if like this vacation Bible school comes and some folks come and the normal average folks kind of volunteer and the average crowd comes and the average results happen, the same thing, you know, we're going to say, well, we had another good one. We will. We'll say it like that. We had another good vacation Bible school. But it's just the same thing, and the expectation of the same thing. We'll say, well, we all did a good job. And I'm sure people work hard. Vacation Bible school, we're traveling through the summer. We're going to a lot of church. It's hard work. Whether you have 30 kids or 300 kids, it's hard work. And we can be, and I'm just using that for an example, but I'm just saying a lot of times all we want to have our expectation based on what we can do. You know, Preacher, I think I could feed two people or two families. Yeah, I think we could do that. We could have a family over, you know, missions conference or something. And somebody say, I think we could take care of a family, one meal, something like that. The preacher said, no, I'd like you to take care of, you know, all seven missionary families for every meal for a week. you'd pull out your, I mean, no, that's what happened. You know, you'd say, what happened there? You could say, how was, by the way, preacher's probably not going to do that, amen. Maybe not have, but what I'm saying is what can happen. God wants to get something in your life that's beyond your imagination and put you in a place of saying, how on earth are we going to get that done? And so the Lord can say, well, it's not on earth. It's from heaven. You see, the Lord starts with this. He says this, check what you got. He said there in verse 38, he says, how many loaves have ye? He's just, and then he says there, go and see. So what do you have? He just starts with, you know, it is challenging for us not to be limited by our own mortal limitations. But God isn't limited by these things that we can do. Listen, I can't pull money out of a fish's mouth. I haven't done it yet. You understand? I can't make that happen. You see, I can't curse a fig tree and it just wither up in a day. I can't do that. You understand? I'm limited. But God's not. And so He's not limited by these things that we could get. The Lord takes time to examine us. Look with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And this will be the last place we turn tonight. But over there in John in chapter 6, we're finding again this same story, the same account in verse 5. John chapter 6 and verse 5. Now when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6. And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. You know, the Lord already knows what He's going to do. Do you ever get nervous around election time? Yeah? You get nervous, you think, oh Lord, here we go. I mean, I know we all got nervous the last one. And so every time it's just like, what's going to happen next? And you know, I don't put my trust in Washington or any of the politicians. That's not where my hope is. But there's certain ones that get in there to make me a lot more nervous than others. Can I just put it that way? Do you understand? And so sometimes you're just sitting there and thinking, how is this thing going to work out? I can remember reading some of this history where back in the, I mean, I think it was about the 5th or 6th or 7th presidential election, somewhere around back there. I can't remember exactly, but one lady was writing to another lady. She said, we are in a dire situation. Said, I'm not sure if either one of these candidates believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, that happened way back there. And here we're like, I wish any of them would just say the name, right? And we could get really kind of in a fret and a fuss about where our country is. I'm telling you, you want to help your soul to love America more, is go visit another country, like a third world country, like a socialist nation. Sri Lanka is a socialist country, and we watch where the government owns the electricity, they own the telephone, they own the internet, they own everything. They own everything, and they own the water, they own every utility is owned by them, everything that comes in. So when they decide, whether it's political or whatever, that they want to shut off the power over here, it goes off over here. And what they'll do is they'll shut off that power, and right after the only guy that can turn it back on, he's gone home for the day. It's on purpose so that that district is without power, and it's meant to be a political jostling to kind of pressure the other ones at times. And so you see some of these things. To watch a nation that we live in, Sri Lanka, where all the people have, I'm saying almost universally around that, nationally rather, that they all have such a trust in the country taking care of them. But yet they don't trust their country. They don't trust the police. They think every policeman, I asked many Sri Lankans, I asked them over and over, do you trust the police and the military? They said, oh no, no. They're all bribed. I mean, I don't think they're all bribed, but they think this way. They don't trust a politician. Could you imagine in America, things that they deal with, could you imagine in America walking down the street and there's a group of whatever individuals come and begin to mug you and begin to surround you. Maybe they have knives or whatever. And you see a police officer over there and you're thinking, he's driving by. Most of us would think, whew, now we're safe, right? I hope you think that way. I would. I'm thinking, now there's a cop. This is going to, in that country, a cop will stand there and watch it. What just happened there in Sri Lanka, we had these Islamists come and blow up three churches and two five-star hotels, and they blew up right where children were. That's kind of how Islamists do that thing. And afterwards, there became a retaliation from the Buddhist majority against the Muslims. And so what they did is they went and they burned down and destroyed 500 Muslim businesses and homes. And one man, they just went on with knives, slashed him to death with just knives. And there's video of the military pointing to a Muslim business and the men going over there, the Buddhist men going over there. Could you imagine living in a nation where there was no one you could trust for protection? I understand America's not what it used to be. I understand that. But I'm telling you, still the greatest, greatest nation on the planet. And there's times that we can start to wring our hands a little bit. Okay, there's a lot of times. Maybe it seems like as time goes on, we have a lot more of those opportunities. But can I tell you this? God already knows what He's doing. He already knows what He's going to do. And listen, He wants to give us this opportunity, and He's seen there, and He said He was just doing this to try them, to see what they were going to do. And we know the story comes by. There's a boy brought his lunch. And the apostle said, what is that? What is that among so many? God doesn't ask us for what we don't have. He asks us for what we have. God wants what you have. For God to do something with it, to bless it from heaven, and do something more than you could ever imagine could be done with it. Listen, I'm telling you, the exciting thing about Christianity is that we have a God that's real. He's alive. And, when we tell these Sri Lankan people this over and over, listen, the reason Jesus rose from the grave, He didn't just rise from the grave and go right to heaven. He went and spent some time on earth to prove that He had victory over death. We serve a risen Savior. The rest of the world doesn't even pretend to know the ideas of their God. God has given it to us. God knows what He's doing. And all He wants from us is to give what we have, serve Him with what we have, and have compassion on the lost, to reach them with when God gives us the opportunities, and He is. What about you tonight? What opportunities is God putting in your life? Listen, if you're a believer here tonight, what opportunities has God put in your life to tell somebody else about the Savior? Maybe you say, well, there's not been very many. He wants to. Amen? He wants to. That's what we're here for. Is to, where be the light? And if He has put, are you willing to take that opportunity? Father, I pray that You'd bless tonight. Lord, help us to see You. Lord, help us to be what we need to be. Lord, You're doing a work in our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to see You. We trust You, even when we don't understand what's going on around us. Lord, have Your way in each of our hearts, and we'll thank You for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.